I'm going to test you to sure everyone can hear me. This is Brandy Flores.
We can hear you, Brandy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Nice to hear your voice.
So, Mr. Chair, we have four in the room and two on the phone.
We're up. All right, let's keep going. I'd like to welcome you to the November 17th, 2023 meeting of the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board and invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do the roll call.
Okay, for board roll call, we have Jerry Bagley.
Yes.
Marshall Mapp.
Present.
Brandy Flores.
Present.
Nick Wiggins. Jessica Guzman Glover. Tracy Nato.
Here.
Brandon McFadden.
Present.
Kate Sarenheim.
Present.
And then for board staff, we have Frank McGolly.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Carlos Carranza.
Here.
Isabella Legowski. Present. Heather Canabria, myself. And then for investigators, we have Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Lisa Chavez.
Here.
Keegan McConnell.
Here.
Alexandra Hill. Here. Kathy Bergeron.
Present.
And then out front, we have Amelia Heredia. I'm checking everybody in. For legal counsel, we have Elizabeth Campbell.
Here.
I apologize.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to stay here or not.
I'm like, you looked at me, did I think anything wrong about it? All right, we're good.
Thank you. Well done. All right, moving down, the next section is board business. Just with awareness, the board may vote to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters pursuant to ARF 38-34-31-4-3. Or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03. Next item up is discussion consideration of possible act on approval of the regular board October 20th, 2023 meeting. Is anyone on the board prepared to make a motion in that regard? Wait a minute. Make motion to approve that?
Yep.
All right, we have a second?
A second.
All right, we have motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimously, we approve the minutes from the last meeting. Conflict of interest. Does any board member have a conflict of interest in any case that's going to be heard today? All right. We hear no response. Therefore, we believe there are no conflicts of interest and we'll take that position and move to the next part. Welcoming visiting barbering and cosmetology students and instructors. In fact, we've got some folks out there that are in the industry. It's nice to see you all here today. Appreciate it. We appreciate your support. Yep, so much for coming. Would you like to say what school is your representative?
Aveda.
Aveda. Nice to see you.
I try to be real technology.
Oh, nice. Thank you for coming. What was that one?
Ebit.
Oh, Ebit. Good. Good to see you guys.
Video coming
in. Nice.
Gateway.
Wow, Gateway too. Hey, we got a good house today. This is the most schools we've had for on top of the just last year. So thank you all. We appreciate your support. We'll try to make a good show today. Make it worth your time and give you a better idea of why we do what we do and how we get it done. Sorry, Frank, would you move to the executive director?
Absolutely. Good morning, members, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I do have quite a lengthy update. I practiced last night most of this in front of my kids to try to be as concise as possible for you so that we don't get behind on time. I'm told by a few members of this amazing team that I tend to be long-winded. So I want to share a couple of good news. The big good news for this month is our organizational re-engagement with NIC, the National, and I always get this name wrong, the National interstate directors of cosmetology, state boards of cosmetology. So our organization has been partnering with them for a number of years. The last 2 years, it's primarily been related to the adopting the national test, the written theory and written practical exams. And Kelly and I were very fortunate enough to attend that conference in Albuquerque, I think it was 2 weeks ago now. And it was very interesting. I went to this meeting / conference with two goals in mind. Number one, to convey the message and officially request of that board the hairstyling and instructor written practical. And the second goal was to not come back with any more work for me and my team. And I was not only 50% successful on that, and we did convey our message. We still don't have a quote unquote approval of our hairstyling and instructor written practical, but Arizona was not the only one interested. Washington was interested, Wyoming was interested. So there was, it turned into a bigger than just Arizona request. This was huge because of timing related issues on the written, or excuse me, the hands-on practicals for hairstyling and instructors. So again, there's some forward progress, but we're still not there. I also added to that request that we do the Spanish translation immediately as part of the implementation of that, and there seemed to be agreement on that. Where I failed miserably on not getting more work for me or this organization is that I was elected by the other executive directors within that were at the meeting to be the vice chair of the executive directors committee. So it's a subcommittee of the overarching board. I've been attending the meetings anyways, and I was basically voluntold that we would be, that they wanted me to do that for a different perspective. So that occurred. And then on top of that, and I'm going to thank Kelly for this one, we are going to be hosting the 2025 NIC meeting conference here in Phoenix, which does involve some work on our part as a hosting state, but we're pretty excited about it. There was a rumor that it might happen in 2024, but I did receive confirmation that it will be 25. Funny story about that. We didn't really go into it with the intention of wanting to do that. We didn't really nominate ourselves, and somehow all of a sudden we were on the list when it came to membership voting. And it went through 3 rounds of voting, and Phoenix was successful. And the executive director of NIC stood up and said, "Well, Frank, do you want to say something about Arizona?" Like, I wasn't expecting this, and I'm speechless right now. So Kelly actually gets up. And she's like, "Yeah, Arizona's known for our saguaro cactuses." And people around the room were looking at her like, "What the heck, the saguaro cactus?" So she did this. She displayed what a saguaro cactus was.
Did you tell her you were going to display her?
Probably not. And so what is great about this is it actually turned into a thing at the conference, and we have lots of pictures of saguaro cactuses with our varying partners from around the country, both NIC and our IT partner here. So all in fun, but we will, the overarching message is that we are hosting the Arizona is hosting the 2025 NIC conference and meeting. We learned a lot, which is great, and we'll continue to work on those testing items of particular importance to Arizona. I do have some staffing updates for everybody this morning. First and foremost, on Friday, November 3rd, we received notice from Bruce Bueno, our former licensing and customer care administrator. He provided written resignation to us, and his last day with the organization was yesterday. We wish Bruce great things. He's found a role of where he believes a personal passion of his, and working with students or juveniles, I guess I should say, and teaching them barbering is my understanding. So we're very excited for Bruce and certainly wish him well. Some late breaking news that did not make it into the presentation was that as of yesterday afternoon, Our business and finance administrator, Carrie Watkins, is no longer employed by the organization. Same here, we certainly wish Carrie well in her future endeavors and wish her nothing but the best. And I want to publicly thank both Bruce and Carrie for their time of state service, as well as their time to the Barbering and Cosmetology Board. For our licensing system, I have not provided the board the public's been updated, but not a specific update to the board related to our licensing system. I am so excited to be here today to tell you that we are almost there. We are just 2 weeks from having a consolidated IT licensing and compliance system, fully consolidated. So beginning on December 4th, we will begin accepting new barber applications and renewals in the new system. All other services, the shop applications and renewals, instructor applications and renewals, school applications, renewal verifications, address changes, name changes, all of the subsequent services that are provided once you're licensed by the organization will go live 2 weeks later. We have the current barber portal, otherwise known as e-license, will no longer be available beginning at 5 p.m. today. This does leave, as with most IT system transitions, a blackout period, which has the potential of causing some churn within the licensure base. We were intentional in choosing our blackout date. One of those weeks is Thanksgiving week, just to ensure that week. Of course, the Salesforce team isn't happy because that's when they have to pull data. But from a customer service standpoint, it was certainly intentional to do that, so that one of those weeks was a holiday week. The timeline of this was also intentional, ensuring that we were done before Christmas, the Christmas holiday, December 25th. In an effort to help mitigate potential licensing issues during the blackout period, we have proactively communicated with licensees 6 times over the last 3 weeks that this change is occurring. We've encouraged folks who have a renewal due during this period of time to come in and do your renewal now, or it'll have to wait until after December 4th. Reminding folks about school hours, doing a number of proactive communication fronts. So it really shouldn't be a surprise, but as with all communication, we don't always reach everybody. And we are actively preparing plans for those situations that might fall through the cracks over these next 2 weeks. And we will be more than happy to work with those individuals who do fall through those cracks and make sure that there's no licensing issues during this shutdown period.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Individuals who, not so much the barbers with renewals, but the students who will be graduating Monday with hours, but they don't finish all their hours till Monday. Do we have anything in place? I know at one point we had a temporary license or whatever. For those individuals who need to. Are in situations they're trying to work, would it just be a 2 week? They'll just have to wait for those 2 weeks to be able to do anything?
Yeah, at this point, we had not received any feedback related to kind of that 2 week period of time. I think this late nature, by the time we would be able to implement a provisional license, the 2 weeks would be up. So again, we'll certainly work with folks and we'll try to figure out a solution. Again, one of those weeks being a holiday, but we can certainly talk about specific situations if you need to, Marshall.
Okay.
I didn't realize we had any. We are anticipating December graduations. I wasn't quite expecting one on this week.
No, I was just saying this because we have students who that are at multiple schools who graduate during that time. If they do graduate, a lot of them are looking forward to going to work.
Yeah.
They have jobs lined up, and I don't know what the time frame will be because shops do get busy. So it's like if they need to. Like I'll have some, that's the busiest season for barbers and cosmetologists. So just putting something in place, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but just to, are we able to still do process them?
Perfect.
I get we're going to the new system, are we still able to process a license? Not do anything.
So yeah, unfortunately, the system will be down. We will not be able to do anything in the existing system, but we can certainly, there's actually no statutory authority for this organization to issue provisional licenses either. So that's why I'm kind of dancing a little bit on the provisional license question. Because we really don't have there's no authority to do that, which is why we had to do away with it when I first started. There was authority by way of an executive order in 2020, but that executive order ended in 21. So that's kind of the legal part of provisional licensing. I think what we could do is we can add it, Kelly.
Yeah, so if I may, Kelly Shepherd, Deputy Director, the good thing will be, Marshall, is if they start an application, now I guess that it's by 5 o'clock today, right? But if they start an application, if there's anything that is in process currently in Salesforce, it will automatically be transferred over to GL7. With the improvements that we put in GL7, if we have all of the requirements, we will be able to license things.
That last little part.
Sorry.
With GL, it will go into the system.
It'll go into the system, so their application will be there.
Okay.
We have all of their requirements for the application. If they submit everything to us, we will be able to license the same thing.
Okay, because I'm just thinking of situations where you have, like, let's start something out there, a student who's technically doesn't have enough hours to submit today, because they still, let's say they're 20 hours short.
Good point.
Or 10 hours short. But by next week, Monday, they'll have those 10 hours. Now they go to apply because we didn't say, like, well, if you're getting close, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's one of those, well, now I got a license. I know a person in particular who is in a situation where they're trying to go to a shop, but they don't have enough hours. And they're like, so what happens? I'm like, I will have today because they won't get employment after a certain date. And they're like, well, what do I do? And I was like, well, I have to. They have something.
And my other question would be, has that individual tested yet and passed? Okay, so that's great news. I checked that box.
Just needs hours.
Right.
So a person like that is already, they showed the initiative, they took the test, they're just waiting on hours per se. So it's like, well, okay, I need 10 hours. What will happen with me during that time is like, well, I guess you just can't work. I just know in the profession, like, I'm not saying he's the only individual. I'm sure there possibly could be, obviously. Just wanted to know if there's something that we could tell them or if we had anything in place for those guys.
Let us take this back and think about what option, see if there's an option on the table, and maybe we can circle back around with you early next week from that school perspective. Because we're clearly not going to solve it in the meeting here.
Yes,
it's a good question. And it's a fair question and not something we had considered. So let's take a note and we can circle back around with Marshall early next week on that. Next up, our financial update. We did start the new quarter in October. Our quarterly allotment was $750,594, of which we had $319,323 in revenue, and we had $159,899 in expenses. So through October, which is 33% of the year, we are approximately 39% expended to our appropriation. So we're a little bit off right now, but again, we had that hefty IT bill at the beginning of the year, which skews that percentage. Our Barberin and Cosmetology fund balance began the state fiscal year at $15,370,000, and in October it ended at $15,610,000. Again, as a friendly reminder, I'm probably going to say this every month, this is our heavy renewal year, so our revenue is going to be on the higher side this year. So we're probably going to see that fund balance increase this year, and just because of the nature of that. Our testing data update. We had 379 candidates tested in the written practical format this month with an average passing rate of 76%. Again, that 76% is just a little bit skewed because of a couple of low numbers on a couple of those testing categories. 508 candidates have scheduled a test date between November 7th and February 26th. That's the furthest out we had at this point. 251 of those are written practicals, 10 Cosmo, 1 Aesthetics, and 2 Barbers are in Spanish. We continue to track the impact of that Spanish test that we implemented a little earlier this year. And we have 257 taking their theory exam I anticipate these numbers going through the roof over, well, not through the roof, but increasing probably 30% over the next handful of weeks, because we will have graduations and a number of folks ready to take their tests. But they could also be already scheduled. So it's going to be an interesting month where I'm definitely watching it for sure. Our licensing update, again, I continue to be in awe and proud of our license, all of our teams, but our licensing team, in the month of October, we received 359 new exam applications. We approved 289 of those, with 70 of them being incomplete, with a 1-day turnaround on average for those. On our establishment application, we received 154 applications. We approved 108 of them, with 46 being incomplete, and a 7-day average turnaround on those. Our reciprocity applications, we received 198 of those in the month of October. We had approved, when I pulled the data last week on the 7th, we had approved 90 of them, with 108 of those being incomplete. As I continue to track this close of this granular level of the reciprocity applications, I anticipate that we will consistently stay in that 10 to 12-day window, because we are regularly waiting on our incomplete applications here are because we're waiting on certifications from other states. So I think we'll stay in that 10 to 12-day range. But again, the fact that we're turning 1 day, 7 days, and 12 days, I continue to be in absolute awe of the incredible work of that team, the process improvements that they have deployed, and the great work that they continue to do.
We actually heard at the conference there are some states that are taking 6 months to apply reciprocity.
Yep. Because it's not a priority, was the exact words I heard. I was like,
that's very question.
Yeah. Again, these are average numbers. So, you know, 1 week it could be a day and a half. 1 week it could be a half a day. It just depends. And so all good things going on there. Here's where I'm really, really, really excited. In the month of October, we received 3,270 calls to our call center. I'm not really excited about that number, because it's a lot of phone calls for us to take. But what I am excited about is that our average wait time was less than 5 minutes. Month of October, and our handle time when talking with our customers was also minutes. And so when we can combine those two numbers, the wait time and the handle time, that means the customer calling into our organization is waiting less, on average, less than 10 minutes overall. I'm super, super proud of this team. If you recall last month, I kind of gave you that we were red, but we've done a number of process improvements here, and I'm kind of speechless, because this was the goal I set for the end of the year. And to be perfectly candid, we are already achieved under 10 minutes for the first 2 weeks of November, and we're marching to being under the 10 minutes for this week. So we're transitioning this conversation to being more about how do we sustain these numbers, and what do we do if they do start to kind of come off a little bit, and how do we adjust when we need to? So again, super proud. On our email inbox inquiries, we received 488, and we continue to have a less than 24-hour response time. I will tell you that we continue to hear from the licensees that we don't answer the phone, that we don't respond to emails. And I can obviously objectively tell everybody that that is not the case anymore. Yes, it was that way at some point, but it is no longer that way. From a compliance team, we received 80 consumer complaints in the month of October. 30% of those were within our jurisdiction and assigned to an investigator. In the month of October, we conducted 300, the five amazing inspectors conducted 352 inspections with an 88% compliance rate among those inspections. Very, very proud of that team. They continue to average, generally speaking, about 8 inspections a day, and they're doing great work. On top of the 352 inspections, there were also 26 investigations conducted, and we continue to work towards getting outside of our metropolitan areas. And we, in the month of October, visited Cottonwood, Holbrook, Flagstaff, Sholo, and Wilcox. So we are continuing to reach out to other parts of the community. Real quick on our rulemaking update, on Thursday, October 26th, we did have our oral proceedings right here in this boardroom. We had six individuals show up to that meeting, two of which had specific feedback related to the rules, of which I do believe we have adequately addressed those comments and even made a couple of changes based on that feedback. I think there was some confusion, just to be transparent, I think there's some confusion about the purpose of oral proceedings. There were the other four folks had questions about implementation of certain items, and we're just trying to keep, we kept it confined to feedback on the draft rules. So we did that. We prepared the notice of final rules, and that was submitted to the governor's office 11 days ago now to our policy advisor, and it is now in their court to review those and send us approvals to go to the governor's regulatory review council. I'm hoping to have that by December 15th is kind of the date I have in my head. I have asked the governor's office for a timeline of when we should expect that back from them, and I've not heard yet. The policy team is in their reorganization state right now, just before going into legislative session. It's pretty common, I'm learning, in that November, December timeframes that they adjust in preparation for legislative session. So again, I'm hopeful to have that by December 15th. And if we have that by December 15th, we have a good chance of being on a governor's regulatory review council meeting in January of 2024. Once we have that approval, it'll go to the Secretary of State's office, and they have 60 days. Excuse me, they have 60 days to publish those final rules. So we continue to march on that, and I'm very excited that I'll be excited when that huge project comes to a closure. For our legislative subcommittee update, we did have, as I shared last month, the first meeting was on October 6th. The second meeting was on October 23rd. We do have recommendations for you. It's actually the next agenda item immediately after this presentation. The chair of the legislative subcommittee is here to provide the recommendation to you, and hoping with board consent, obviously, to move that forward. But one thing I did want to stop and do today is to give appreciation to our legislative subcommittee. Because we have such a full room, and a couple of our folks are actually virtual this morning, I'll save the certificates for later, but I do want to give specific appreciation to Trista Guzman Glover, Brandon McFadden, Marshall Knox, Amy Blackman, and Kathy Kalush for participating in that legislative subcommittee. And please be sure to see me so I can hand you your awesome, beautiful, gold-colored paper certificate. It was two outstanding meetings. The fact that we got through all of that material and the legislative changes that took for the purpose of consolidation was absolutely amazing. We had a great chair who really drove the conversation, kept us on track. Out of the first meeting, we tabled a couple of items so that some research could be done by members of the committee, as well as we received some legal advice on one piece. And so I'm really very thankful to the subcommittee as a whole for making that a very easy process for everybody. Finally, our next six meetings, I cannot believe it, but our next meeting is the December meeting, December 15th at 9 a.m. here in, actually, I'm not sure which room we're in December, so I can't tell you, but it's here in this building. And then obviously we're moving into our 2024 meeting, January 19th, February 16th, March 15th, April 19th, and May 17th. I did give everybody a hard copy of this presentation. It is in front of you this morning. So, because I noticed like Tracy taking pictures of it. So I was like, oh, you can have that. At this point, the third Friday of the month continues to work for everybody. We have not, I'm actually very proud to say we have had 11 meetings so far in 2023. We have not missed a meeting this year, and I'm hoping to continue that trend through December, because I want to say we had a full year of meet. I want to be able to say that we were able to conduct a full year of meetings and continue that trend into next year. With that, Mr. Chair, I turn it back to you. It's a little bit, the order of the agenda is correct, but we do have an agenda item here for that legislative subcommittee.
Right. All right, so we're ready to move into that. Okay, so our next item, number five, presentation review, discussion of possible action on legislative subcommittee recommendation.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the legislative subcommittee did, in their first meeting, elected a chair from the group, which was Ms. Kathy Kalush, one of the public members of the subcommittee. And she is here this morning to present the recommendations, which were are included in your packet and were emailed to all of you last week.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I also want to thank the other committee members, getting to know you, Brandon, Marshall, Amy, and Sukta, who's on the phone. But the gold star really goes to Frank and Kelly Shepherd, because they're the ones that really did the deep dive into statute, so that it was a really easy process for us to go through. So the goal of this committee was to take the, with the merging of the Barbara College Board, was to take the separate rules and to equalize them, so we're all following the same rule. And so what we were provided as a committee was just a side-by-side view, so that we could see where the difference took place. And we did move through the process very quickly, because we really agreed, we unanimously agreed on, I'm going to say 98% of the changes that were recommended from the staff. I just want to point out a couple that we did make a few changes to. I understand that you received the packet about a week ago, so you probably had a chance to review it. So just going to go into a couple. The first one is going to be the educator requirement. And on the cosmetology side, it's been a 350-hour educational program with 1 year of experience. The Barbara side did not have that, but we equalized that, and really everybody agreed to make that the same so that we have good instructors. But about 6 months ago, Frank held a town hall, and there was a lot of school people on that call, a lot of school owners, and a lot of leadership from schools. And the number one question in the chat box was, would you consider bringing back the challenging of the board on the test for educators? There still continues to be a severe shortage of educators since COVID in our market. And it puts a tremendous burden on the school to fill those positions. And so that was one of the items that we did pause and table to really think it through. I was able to get my hands on, I chair the American Association of Cosmetology Board of School, which is over 600 schools across the country. I have access to what all the other states are doing. And there are several states that do have a challenging of the board. And so we just need to do what we can to give schools options to run their operation. And so we, after some really good thoughtful discussion, we agreed that that should be something to bring back and have it as an option for schools. So that was one. The other one was that it's always been on the cosmetology side that you had to be a distinct school. And if you were maybe somebody in the salon world and you have a salon, that you could not merge the two. You couldn't be a salon with a school inside. Very distinct. There were facilities, there were entrance, that sort of thing. You knew you were going to a school. And on the corporate side, that really hasn't been the practice. And, you know, with the barbers in our committee, it was a really good discussion about how do we move forward? How do we make this school? And we all agreed that moving forward, that school, barber school, would need to follow that same rule and be a barber school, so that when people are coming into that, they know it's a school. And Marshall is the one that coined it. Right now, it's in a twofer. You have a barber shop, and then you have a school. You have maybe a theory room in the back, and people aren't really, they don't really understand maybe what they're going into as a facility. And so, goes through, any barber schools in the future would have to have a unique and distinct facility for a barber school. And the subcommittee basically said, we're going to let you work out the optimal side of the existing barber school. Nobody grandfathered in. Nobody wants to inflict harm or financial burden for them. But over maybe a few years, that they can be taken on a transitional period so that they have an actual barber school. Those were just a couple of the things that we ended up having thoughtful discussion on. Frank mentioned that we did need to consult legal. there was a question about, did we want to have any restrictions on licenses for certain crime? Was able to review what other states are doing. And predominantly what came back was that the language in the statute is the right kind of language that the board, you, the board, has the ability to make decisions on a case-by-case basis as it comes up. So we didn't feel the need to change that. So the subcommittee is recommending to you, the board, to pass everything that you see in your review packet, take our recommendation, approve it, and take the next step, and change it to legislature. So without any questions, I'll turn it back over to Frank.
So with that, Mr. Chair, members of the board, now I'm going to kick it back to you. Do you have any questions for the subcommittee?
I do, actually. Reading through it, I noticed that the way the wording was coming in, that it would, of course, everybody has their agenda, but would enable barbers to use lasers, that we'd open that door to them, which I don't have any objection to. But it was wording to the colleges. And I think that's a profound thing to do. That's not wrong, but a profound change.
Sure. That didn't even get to God.
No.
That wasn't even in the.
I think that may have been just.
Look at the wording going down through it. You read, they're on the list of people who could get, later, get laser training. So we might want to look at, if we don't intend to do that, we probably need to look at the wording.
Sure.
If we do intend to do that, then it's probably progressive. I mean, it's not, I don't think there's a harm in it. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, my personal thought, but my personal thought is, they have the same training that people who are cosmetologists, that they should be allowed those same.
So why not?
And it would be progressive. I don't know any other state that have that.
No, I mean, you look through it and see if that's the way it comes, but it looked like that to me. And I thought, well, great, that's
so
very progressive.
One of the questions I have, you say barbers being able to use lasers as far as to do what?
Well, so.
I'm asking.
Well, I can give you a little more thing in my mind. I mean, the obvious one, that if they have it enabled to use laser by training, then they'd be able to do hair removal.
Permanent hair removal.
Yeah.
Well, they would qualify them to take course.
Be qualified to take course.
It just allows them to get further training. You just don't let them move on a laser.
No, they still have to get trained.
Yeah.
And the red's the same way.
So are you referring to the, that piece about hair removal by any other means other than electrolysis? So that's actually already, it's because we've had this conversation many times. We've talked with legal about it because there's all this confusion around the straight blade with barbers being able to do that and everybody else. But the actual definition of barber, as well as cosmetologist and hairstylist, use that terminology of.
So when you look through it, I did try to put in the document what was in green is new language. Mm-hmm. What was in blue was taking the barber language, and what was in red is the new legislation that was passed. So there was a request to be able to include facials, corrective treatments, blackhead and acne removal, as well as mask and treatment creams for barbers.
Sure.
As I understood, that was something that barbers could already do. I just want to clarify, lasers are not specific in here, but I understand that.
The same wording that allows an addition or cosmetologist to do it applies to the barber, which, again, I'm not complaining about that. I think it's great. I make sure that was our staff on the agenda. The other thing I saw was that there were a couple inconsistencies between the salon name being used in establishment. And I was going to ask, are we going to establishment away from all those others?
Yeah, the intent is for it to be establishment throughout.
We might want to just take a look through it and see where the salon name comes up and replace
it. We'll make sure. That was actually the intent.
Yeah. So it's all good stuff. I didn't.
Yeah.
I found no fault with it. I think it's very progressive. I think of a half dozen services that barbers would benefit from, provide, because it broadens their ability to produce money by producing more treatments for their clients. And also within the industry, I look at the aesthetic centering, it's a way to bring more men into the system as users because of a more comfortable environment. So I applaud the event if we can make that stay together.
With Tracy McDill here, with the teachers and equalizing the rule. What was the challenge in the board?
Okay, first, so great time, Chair and Board. So previously, and kind of before my time of being involved, I'd had my school for 17 years, but I didn't really get involved legislatively until about 2018. And prior to that, there had been a challenging where if you have somebody in the industry, let's say she, maybe with a educator for a product company, and she had been teaching, or educator in a salon, and or had a bachelor's degree in teaching, and then went to cosmetology school, they could come in and just take the educator training test, and not take back then 500-hour course. And you challenge the board and get your license and not do the 500 hours. And somewhere, I don't know, Jerry, maybe 2016, 2017, I don't have the historical data. They changed it, they lowered the hours from 500 to 350, and they took away that challenge of the board. So on the cosmetology side, no matter what, you have to take 350-hour course and have 1 year of experience. And so that's historically been maybe 2017. So the conversation was, there's not a lot of people, we don't have enough people taking the educator and training course. And so there was a big cry from the school at that town hall meeting about, could we bring that back? We think we could facilitate people, it's appropriate for them to challenge that test. But then let the school make the decisions about who they want to hire and what they want to do. And it was agreed upon that we need to provide the schools with other options besides that 350-hour class and let them go ahead and challenge the board. And so they're challenging the test.
In that 350 hours, that's training for specific education or in the industry or just like how to teach?
It is specifically how to teach. There is a curriculum that is from the Milady curriculum providers, the publisher. They have educator and training books, and I think everybody does it a little differently here, but they have theory, and it's on classroom management. It's on conflict in the classroom. It's teaching to different learning styles, different generations. It's all about teaching. It's not about how to cut Pearl and the facial, because these are already licensed professionals, already know the practical sides. Mm-hmm. This is about teaching them how to be a teacher, how to do lesson plans, how to control classrooms, how to engage a classroom. That's what that is about.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other questions? I think it was great work.
Okay. Thank
you for your presentation.
So we will ensure that it says establishment throughout, because we want that badly. it simplified so many things for us. So we badly want that. At this point, Mr. Chair, members of the board, what staff is asking for of the board is a motion and an approval that would direct board staff, myself, board staff. We can say it that way just because Kelly's going to be involved and there may be others involved in the process to begin the process of identifying champion at the legislature who will run the bill to make the changes. But there is the board has to direct us to do that. So I want to make sure we have a clear record that is occurring so that there's no issue there.
Absolutely.
So with that, I'll turn it back over to the board for review and discussion.
And is there any more discussion about these topics before we move forward with the motion of some sort?
So we don't have to
enable us to take the next step. They've moved to the committee and given us a recommendation. Now they need to move up to what we can process. Take away to the legislature.
Okay, so the
question, have anybody?
Once we get ready, once we hand it over, this is board should be advised whoever that individual can be before who knows how to make sure that everything was good with it. That's fine.
And Kelly Shepherd, Deputy Director, just to be clear, the legislature will have final ruling on what happens to these statutes.
Yeah.
whether they accept it.
Ultimately, we just need the authority to go have the conversation and to speak to it.
Yes. Yeah, and I'll make a motion that we allow the board staff to pursue this and to try to get these changes to our laws in order to get this moving forward and more aggressive. A motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Doing that, that's unanimous. Unanimously, we agree that we want you to pursue this and see if you can get these changes made to our laws.
Thank you so much.
Help in any way we can.
Absolutely. And we will continue, we will, I will obviously include a legislative update through the legislative session because we, I will literally next week be going and starting to knock on doors to figure out who, we'll be knocking on doors to figure out who we can get to kind of champion it and push it through at this point.
These are good changes. We need to continue to change because the market continues to change. We need to stay asked.
So from a perspective, Mr. Chair, we're good to continue on to 6A and through all of the consent agenda items, and then it'll be, actually, we're already there, so we're ready to continue moving.
All right, so let's do that. Let's move to section six, start our consent agenda, and
good morning. Step 1A, recommended dismissal. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, all cases listed under step 1A, recommended dismissals have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Motion on step 6A.
I move that we adopt the factual. I move that we accept staff recommendation.
We have a motion. A motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Right, unanimously, we accept those recommendations.
Step 1B, non-disciplinary letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1B, recommended non-disciplinary letters of concern have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
We have a motion regarding 6B.
I move that we accept staff recommendations.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You guys online, okay? Randy, are you still there?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I am. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we get your ideas in there. They're good ideas. So unanimously, we accept 6B.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I apologize for interrupting. When making motions, if we can please make sure, since we've got virtual, and if we can please make sure or stating our name when making those motions.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, let's look at C.
Step 1C, recommended informal interviews and negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1C, recommended for interviews and negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, and would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Okay, do we have any discussion on 6B, any cases we want to additional ones? If not, do we have a motion?
Casey Mayfield, I recommend we accept staff recommendation.
Okay. Second, motion on.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, Brandy Flores.
Thank you. Any opposed? We now accept staff recommendation on all those issues.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I believe that puts us at agenda item 7A, and I will turn it over to Ms. Rosa for those items.
Should we do the opening of that before we do that?
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah, because that, yeah, you need to be sworn in. Yes.
We're good.
Thank you.
Okay. So, again, based on the agenda, I remind you we may go into executive session if we have questions on the cases in any way legally or from personal standpoint. So the rest of that is now 9:51 on a day that I don't remember, November or something, November 17th, 2023. It's a time and place scheduled for the board's review of cases scheduled for review, discussion, and possible action on random inspections with board order and consent agreement pursuant to ARS 32-572A9. My name is Board Chairman Gary Begley. The other board members now introduce themselves and indicate whether they're a public or public member or a professional member. Can we do that? Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Marshall Knox, professional member, vice chair.
Trinity Mayfield, professional.
Brandon McFadden, professional board.
Guys on the phone, yourselves.
Case Tarantine, public member.
Randy Flores, public member.
Thank you. That's perfect. Also present is the board's executive director, Frank Magali, and the board's attorney,
Elizabeth Campbell.
Elizabeth Campbell, Elizabeth and I are old friends from 30 minutes ago, from the Attorney General's office. Called, unmute your phone by pressing star six. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted in order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board. We ask those speaking not to take time repeating information the board has already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes its discussion with the party, we will move into deliberation. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberation, we ask you respect the fact we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request you not interrupt that process. This time, I'd like to swear in the staff members who will be testifying today. For the following compliance team members, please stand and raise your right hand. Rosa Rodriguez, Helen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Keegan McConnell, Alexander Hill, and Kathy Bergeron. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? State your names.
I do, Lisa Rodriguez.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
I do, Helen Bordelon.
I do, Alexander Hill.
I do, Keegan McCall.
Thank you very much. Well done. All right, so now let's move on to who's come in today. Yeah, well, I'm looking down here. I've got for the two cases, two inspections. So let's look at those and then move down to the same place.
We have we have 7A, Mr. Chair, at the top of page 7, numbers 1 and 2, IMSP 085863.
I don't have 7.
Oh. Seven A.
All right, I have an earlier edition apparently, which is nice.
Oh, yours has the script built into it. My page numbers don't.
I need all the time.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, also the legal compliance administrator, on case number INSP-085863, Maria Toyas, Barber License 03662. On September 15, 2023, board meeting, to continue the case from employers to come into compliance with the licensing requirements. On September 26th, the respondent submitted a barbershop application with the required documents and papers. The barbershop application was reviewed and it determined that she was missing the proof of citizenship and pictures of the same. On October 18th, respondent submitted the missing information and the barbershop application was approved and she received a barber license. It is BB-002706 with an expiration date of June 30th of 2024. I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion to assess a civil penalty of $500 and issue a disciplinary letter of concern for operating a barbershop without the proper license.
James,
yes.
Any questions, first of all, on this? If not, do we have a motion?
Okay, quick question. So we had said there was going to be a $500 fee because she took care of it.
Do you recommend me marry you?
The staff recommendation was for the civil penalty. She attended the meeting on September 15th. She appeared and answered questions voluntarily asked by the board. And then the board voted to continue the case so that she could come into compliance. She submitted the barbershop application and a license petition.
Do we have any further questions or Madam Board, if not, open to a motion?
Move that we adopt the conclusion of law and our staff recommendation.
Staff recommendation.
Yep. Make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve staff recommendations. We have a second.
I'll second that, Brandy Flores.
Thank you, Brandy. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimous, three. And that's the end of that case. Thank you very much.
Number two, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, on October 20th, 2023, the board voted for case number 98512, Marabella Studios, 656. To move the case to a formal hearing. The respondent did not appear for the informal interview scheduled for that day. After further review, I discovered that the respondent was not notified properly for the informal interview, and I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion so that I can properly notify her of the informal interview.
All right, any questions? Any motions?
Marshall Dot, F7A. Case number 98512, I recommend we accept staff recommendations in that case.
We have a second?
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Aye.
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 That was unanimous. So unanimously, we agree that that's all the staff recommendation.